You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 109, in which we're doing a couple of things, and the first is looking at children's dreams and nightmares, a little bit about what they might mean, but more importantly, how you can help your child if they're having a bad dream or a nightmare. So some practical tips to help them through, and following that, a little bit on us, the grown-ups, how to get a good sleep in terms of what should you eat before you go to sleep to get a good night's sleep, and of course, a good night's worth of dreams. So that's what we're going to do today. And first of all, just a couple of little notices. Of course, the usual place to go to if you want to read lots and lots of other free resources about dreams, or to contact me to help you specifically with your dream, or even to visit our shops and buy our books and courses, etc. The address is www.dream.net.au. And I have been listening to feedback. I stopped doing the email interpretation service just over a year ago when we decided to go totally full on over to Skype and phone interpretations only. And I have been listening, and a lot of people have been asking to get just that basic message email interpretation service back. That's the one where you email me a dream and I give you the basic message, the bottom line, what's really important to know. Now, I've brought it back this week, but I have changed it to make it a lot better for you and a lot better for me. So if you'd like to find out more about the email interpretation service, and this might be particularly for you if you're one of those many people that have emailed me and said, look, I'm really a bit shy. Even if I'm just talking to you, I'm a bit shy talking to you on the phone or Skype, and I'd really kind of like to have something in writing that I can look at later and take time over. There are lots of other reasons to have email interpretations, but that's one of the key ones. So go along to dream.net.au, click readings, and you can find out more about that, or visit my blog at janetheresa.com, or find me on Facebook. But now let's get down to those children's dreams and nightmares. Now, I originally wrote this article in 2005, and a lot of people like it, and I've just read it through again, and I'm still happy with it. So I'm just giving it to you straight as I prepared it 6 years ago. Here it is, children's dreams. What makes your child's dream a nightmare? The only difference between a dream and a nightmare is how frightened the dreamer is. See, two people might have exactly the same dream, but one person who has a basic understanding of dream interpretation is calmer about the experience because she knows the dream is not literal. She will wake up and say she's had an interesting dream. The second dreamer, knowing very little about dream interpretation, is more likely to be taken in by the very real feeling of fright and call their dream a nightmare. When you feel frightened in a dream, your physical body goes into fear mode. Adrenaline is released into the bloodstream, causing the usual fear response, raised heart rate, cold sweat, and a feeling of being frozen to the spot and unable to move or shout out. When your child experiences a nightmare, he or she will wake up with all these symptoms. It is a normal and natural physiological response to fear. Children tend to believe dreams are real events. You might think the best thing to do is to reassure your child that their nightmare is only a dream, it's nothing real, and then try to settle them back to sleep, but it's not. Unfortunately, this approach, with the best intentions in the world, has the long-term effect of reducing a child's dream recall as an adult. What you're really doing is saying, dreams are not important, so turn off the recall. You're also giving the message to your child that her fears are unimportant, and that fears should be dismissed or ignored rather than faced and dealt with. As an adult, you know that it's better to face your fears than to bury your head in the sand. You know that fears don't go away. In fact, they grow bigger and more worrying the more you try to ignore them. When you turn and face an issue that's been fearful for you, your fear diminishes and you find solutions to the problem. You become more empowered to live a whole life rather than to hide from parts of it. When you acknowledge your child's fear after a nightmare and help her by following the practical steps I'm going to go into, what you're really doing is teaching your child in a loving and supportive way to face her fears. You're giving her a wonderful gift that will empower her throughout her childhood and her adulthood. Remember also that for your child, her dream was a very real experience, especially emotionally. So being told that it was not real is actually very confusing for her. She may hold back from sharing other emotional experiences with you in the future if she feels that they may not be validated by you. We all dream, but not everyone has good recall of dreams. Many people who no longer remember their dreams were either told by their parents that their dreams were not valuable or were frightened by one too many nightmares into turning off their dream recall. Dreaming is necessary for our physical and emotional well-being. If you allow someone to sleep but stop them from dreaming, which can be done in the laboratory, they suffer physically and emotionally after only 48 hours of dream deprivation. So even if you manage to successfully stop your child remembering her dreams, they are still occurring. You might think this is good. After all, she's getting good sleep and is no longer frightened during the night, but there are deeper implications. Dreams are the result of our dreaming brain working to make sense of our daily experiences. Your child's nightmare is part of the process of her trying to make sense of her world. When you can both talk about a dream, especially when you, the parent, understand a little bit more about what a dream means, you can help her to overcome her natural and normal fears around her everyday life experiences. By repressing dream recall, you are both missing out on a wonderful opportunity for her to grow into her world with more ease and wisdom. So here are some practical steps you can take. If your child wakes up frightened during or just after her nightmare, sit with her and hug her and then reassure her that everyone dreams and some dreams are scarier than others, just as some fairy stories or television shows are scarier than others. If she doesn't actually remember her dream, just let it be. But do take some time to think about what changes might be happening for her and what stresses she might be facing. These stresses and changes may be contributing to the fears that her nightmare is processing, so see if you can ease the changes or stresses in her life. If she's very wakeful, ask her to describe her dream. Now ask her lots of "how did you feel" questions, such as "how did you feel when you saw the monster?" Empathize with her. "Oh, you must have been so frightened." Tell her you know some good tricks to stop nightmares and some fun games to play in the morning. Tell her that she's safe to go back to sleep now. If she's not so wakeful after her dream, just leave asking her to describe the dream until the morning. In the morning, or as soon as you can, set aside some time to play those fun games you've told her about, and this is what to do. Number one, help your child to draw her dream, or, for example, the monster in her dream, or the tidal wave, or the fire, or help her to paint her dream, or to act it out in dress-up clothes, or to use Play-Doh or other art materials to express her dream. Make it a storytelling time and make sure she knows that because you are there, she is completely safe. Make it a bit like telling a fairy story. This helps her to share her dream with you safely, while also seeing that dreams are like stories and play acting, kind of something familiar. Number two, next comes the important step, and it is this. Help your child to work out a better ending for her dream. For example, you might suggest that the monster takes off his monster suit and turns into a good fairy who is ready to grant her next wish. Or you might suggest she waves a magic wand at the tidal wave, the tsunami, making it shrink into a little puddle. Or you might suggest that she picks up a hose and puts out the fire very easily, saving the building or whatever was burning. What you're doing here is helping your child to face her fear and use her natural powers to transform her fears. You are showing her that it is empowering to face your fears because we all have a wonderful ability to find solutions when we have the courage to face our fears. Number three, the next thing to do is to help your child to draw, paint, act, or play Doh the new dream, the one with a happy ending. Practice the new story until she is clear and happy with it. Then tell her that if her dream ever comes again, she can change it in exactly the same way. Tell her this is really easy to do and go over the changed ending with her yet again. Now, it is actually really easy to do. As adults, we find it more difficult to change the ending of a recurring nightmare because we don't believe it can be that easy. But your child will take their new power for granted and be very likely to change the nightmare into a dream with a happy ending should it ever come up again. Will it ever come up again? What are the chances? It's more likely that the dream with a changed ending will come up, as your child's dreaming mind will reflect the new processes she has learned. It's a consolidation, a good sign if this happens. It's unlikely that the nightmare will repeat in its original form, but if it does, just repeat the same steps, perhaps finding a simpler happy ending. The next thing is for you, the parent, to begin to look at what your child's nightmare or dream may mean. The more you can understand her dream, the more you can understand your child. You will also then be able to see what you can do to help your child grow through her fears. The more you can make going to bed a peaceful and happy routine, the more likely your child will sleep well too. Quiet time, like a peaceful story instead of watching television, and perhaps even wishing her happy dreams, helps in making sleep and dreams a time to look forward to for everyone, for her and for you. So here are two or three common childhood nightmares and dreams just to help you out a bit with what your child's nightmares or dreams may mean. Children's dreams and nightmares are actually similar in theme to many adult ones, so you may recognize some of your own dream themes here. It seems no matter how old or young we are all faced with similar challenges from time to time. Being chased. This is the most common childhood nightmare. Your child may dream of being chased by a monster, an animal, a person, or something else, or perhaps a strong wind or a household item such as a broom. In the dream, your child runs away or hides, but the thing keeps on chasing her. Every dream is unique, and the details of a person's dream pinpoint their unique life situation, but the general meaning behind this kind of dream is the same. The child is running away from a fear or issue they would be better to face. In the dream, the child never escapes. Or if she seems to escape, the monster reappears in a future dream, reinforcing, hey, no escape. As in life, the more you turn your back or run away from something you fear, the more it follows you. The solution is to identify the waking life situation that your child is not willing to confront and then help her to face that issue. The more you fail to address a fear or worry, the greater it becomes for her. Once you face it, it changes and a solution emerges with your help. So your task as the parent is to work out what the chasing thing in the dream represents in your child's life. If it is an animal, for example, get a feel for how your child sees that kind of animal. If it is a giant bee, she probably equates it to stinging, so you might want to think about where in her life she might be frightened of someone's stinging remarks. If it's a huge elephant, she may see the elephant as capable of crushing her underfoot, so you might want to think about where she feels belittled or where she fears being emotionally crushed. And of course, with children, as with adults, all dreams reflect what's been going on in the last 24 to 48 hours. So once you try to really understand what your child's dream might be about, particularly look at what's happened for her, whether or not you know about it, what's happened for her and what she's been experiencing in the last 1 or 2 days, and that will give you some clues. The tidal wave, the tsunami dream, or maybe a drowning dream. What does this mean? In this common nightmare, your child is at the beach when suddenly a huge tidal wave or tsunami appears. It comes towards her and she tries to run and usually wakes up at that point. A similar dream is one involving fear of drowning or being out of depth in water. Water in dreams often represents emotions or feelings. The tidal wave dream often comes up when there's a big emotional issue that your child is feeling swamped by, overwhelmed by, and is trying to escape. In adult life, we often try to cope with emotional issues by staying cool and calm and basically just not acknowledging or addressing them. But you can't suppress emotions forever, and eventually they become inevitable tidal waves of emotion threatening to overwhelm you. If your child has this dream, ask yourself how she is or isn't handling emotional issues in her life. You might want to introduce more feeling words into her life, such as happy, sad, excited, disappointed, proud, hurt, and so on, mixing positive and negative emotions, teaching her the words she needs to be able to express herself, as well as teaching her that it's a good thing to be able to talk about feelings and emotions. What you are doing is helping her to address emotional issues by talking about them with you before they become huge tidal waves in her dreams and in her waking life. You can empathize with her and help her to find solutions. Dreams or nightmares of losing something. In this common nightmare, your child loses something very dear to her and gets distressed because she can't find it. This dream comes up when your child is losing touch with something in her life or feeling undervalued. The clue is in what is lost. For example, if she loses her comfort blanket, her security blanket, then you know straight away that she's losing touch with a sense of comfort or security. There are changes in her life moving her towards independence, perhaps, or changes leaving her lacking the comfort she needs at this moment. If, for example, she loses something that she really values, it may be that it represents her self-value, her self-esteem that she feels she's losing. As you can see, the key is to work out what the lost thing represents to her, and then you can work on what she feels she's losing. And the other details in the dream help, and of course you'll know from listening to many of these podcast episodes how to understand what dreams are really about or how to clue into the details of dreams to really interpret a dream. And all of those techniques and tips that you learn from my podcast that you can apply to adult dreams also apply to helping you understand your child's dreams. And lastly, what about really abstract dreams? Because children often have very simple but abstract dreams, more like a single picture with an associated feeling than a storyline. And common ones include, for example, a picture of an enclosed space and a feeling of being crushed or suffocated, or a picture of swirling colours and a feeling of being unsteady or unstable. These, I'm sure you can see, are quite easy for you as an adult to interpret, as they're really giving you a snapshot picture of how your child is feeling. Because a lot of children's dreams will just be their way of capturing a feeling that they can't really put words on. So look at these odd, bizarre, abstract dreams as a kind of child's paintings of feelings, and you'll be able to get an in for what it's about. So your child's nightmare may be quite different from the examples I've given you today, but they do provide clues about how to look at your child's dreams. Every dream is unique, and it's the extra details in your child's dream that help pinpoint what her dream means to her personally. So simply listen to a few more podcasts to get a feel for how you can really get in there and interpret. If you don't have children, but you've been listening to this really interested and waiting to get on to the next article, remember that you do probably know other people with children, and I can guarantee that most children have dreams and nightmares that leave their parents really wishing they had a bit of help. So whether or not your friends and family have ever mentioned how to deal with their children's dreams to them, to you, you might like to just pass on the link to this podcast and say that if they're looking for some help with or ideas about both how to help them with their children's nightmares and help them to get their children to get good sleep and not be frightened of their dreams, or have a bit of help into how to get some extra insight into what's going on for their children by looking at their dreams, that they might really like to have a listen to this episode. And here's the second thing for this episode about good sleep food. And at the end of the good sleep food, I've got my own special recipe, something I've been making for 20 years for me and my family, which I've only just recently realized is also good sleep food. Now, I did write this up in a recent blog in March this year. Here we go. Do you have a late night snack before going to sleep? Is it affecting your sleep and dreams? I have a couple of spoons of muesli. Yes, I know it's a breakfast food, in a glass of milk mixed with natural yogurt every night before I go to bed. If I'm really hungry, it's 3 spoons. And I've just discovered that it's the best food for great sleep and dream recall, and here's why. My breakfasty nightcap is pumped high in tryptophan, which is an amino acid the body converts into serotonin and melatonin. Serotonin is a good mood enhancer. Oh, sweet dreams. And melatonin is a hormone that helps regulate your sleep. Dairy foods are top of the list for being high in tryptophan, and oats are also noted as a high source. My muesli. Milk? Tick. Yogurt? Tick. Oats? Tick. Also prominent in the list are sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds, which are an abundant feature of my homemade muesli. Tick, tick. Guess what I have for breakfast? The same, only much more. I have about 10 spoons of my muesli and add half a banana, but I don't fall asleep after breakfast because I'm well slept and, well, there's my caffeine-rich coffee to follow. Some research suggests that tryptophan may assist dream recall, since people with tryptophan deficiency often have poor memory of their dreams. And what else is good for a late night snack? And what's not so good? Poultry, a chicken and turkey, is high in tryptophan, but protein takes a lot of digesting, enough to disturb your sleep. Big meals before sleep are not a good idea. Bananas are high in tryptophan and also rich in the B vitamins known to make your dreams more vivid, as does a vitamin B supplement. Bananas are also complex carbohydrates, and complex carbs are in the tick box for a good night's sleep because they stimulate the release of insulin, which makes it easier for the tryptophan in your dairy snack to get to work. Note, please, that's complex carbs, not sugary junk carbs. And what not to eat. Included in the what not to eat list are foods with high fat content, caffeine. Remember that chocolate and many common medications are high in caffeine, alcohol, spicy foods, and protein. For most of my life, I've had a glass of hot milk before bed, and it's only been in recent years that I've added the muesli because my blood sugar levels started dropping too low in the middle of the night. No wonder I've always enjoyed good sleep and abundant dream recall. So, as promised, here's my homemade muesli recipe, developed and refined over the last 20 years. Yes, I must have eaten around 7,300 bowls of this stuff, or 73,000 spoonfuls. I like to think it's contributed many wonderful healthy benefits, including great sleep and abundant dream recall, ripe pickings for daily insight. So here we are, get your pen or your pencil and your piece of paper if you'd like to join me in my muesli. My recipe, there's no cooking required. This isn't toasted muesli. It's just mix the ingredients thoroughly and enjoy. Now, I make these in bulk. I make 7 kilograms at a time, which lasts our family about 3 weeks. So I just buy, you know, I've got like 7 1-kilo honey pots that I make the muesli in. Obviously, organic ingredients are best. So this is what you need to get. About 6 kilograms of rolled oats. And if you haven't quite got the fortitude of stomach for that, make some of those rolled oats quick oats. 500 grams of LSA. And LSA is linseed. That's flax. Flaxseed. Linseed, sunflower, and almond in the ratio of 3:2:1, all finely ground. So just recapping, that's 500 grams of LSA, 50 grams of hazelnuts, which you grind up nice and fresh in your grinder, 100 grams of walnuts, which you'll also grind up, and 110 grams of mixed nuts, you know, Brazil nuts and whatever you fancy, but not peanuts. They're not real nuts. And if you don't know what peanuts are, they're ground nuts. Don't use those. And so also grind up your 110 grams of mixed nuts. Then we've got 125 grams of shredded coconut and 100 grams of sunflower seeds, 250 grams of pumpkin seeds, that's pepitas, 100 grams of sesame seeds, 250 grams of dried apricots, which you can chop, chop, chop up small, and about 10 lovely figs, which that's dried figs, of course, which you can chop up small, and 400 grams of organic sultanas. So you just clear a great big space in the kitchen and put your 7 kilogram honey pots out, and you get a great big mixing bowl and a big spoon. And what I do is I just mix some of those ingredients together, and then I spoon them out. You know, there's a spoon of nuts for the first pot, there's a spoon of nuts for the second pot, and go around all the pots. So gradually, in other words, just distribute all the ingredients equally through the pots, and then I go back to the pots and I give them a mix, you know, pour them into a big bowl and give them a really good mix and put them back on and put the lid on tightly and put it in the cupboard. And it's really, really delicious. And anybody that comes and stays with us gets hooked and goes home with the recipe. So I'm sure you enjoy it. It's really wonderful for great health and fitness and well-being. And as we have just discovered, it's also really good if you have a couple of spoons with some yogurt in a glass of milk just before you go to bed for lots of good sleep and lots of good dreams. So there we go. A bit of a different show today. As you know, we usually, or normally, more often than not, have a guest on the show bringing a dream to be interpreted, or we tend to delve a lot more into dream interpretation tips and what dreams mean. So that was a bit different and also very important, particularly for people that are wondering how to deal with their children, how to help their children with their dreams. And, well, we've just recorded this one very late at night. So you know what I'm going to do, don't you? I'm going to go to the cupboard and I'm going to get a lovely 2 spoons of muesli and a lovely cup of milk and get my spoon and really enjoy that. Then I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to have the best of dreams. Sweet dreams to you all for the next week. And I'll see you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.